Welcome to the Advanced Ableton Live 12 lesson on creating a pitch jungle fill with chopped vinyl character. This is one of those detail moves that can instantly make a drum and bass arrangement feel more expensive, more intentional, and way more alive. We're not just making a cool transition effect here, we're building a phrase-turning moment that has groove, tension, grime, and a little bit of that old sampled record attitude. Think of this as the final bar before a drop, a switch-up, or a halftime breakdown, where the drums start to wobble, pitch shifts start to bend the ear, and the whole thing feels like it was pulled off a dusty dubplate and recut in real time. The key is that it should sound chaotic, but still land cleanly on the one. Start with a break that already has personality. A classic Amen-style break, a strip jungle break, or any custom drum loop with ghost notes and transient detail will work well. Drag it into an audio track and warp it to your project tempo. For punchy break material, beats mode is usually the right starting point. If the source feels too soft, use the transient controls to keep the attack sharp. And if the sample is too clean, don't be afraid to dirty it up a little first. A touch of saturator, then resampling, can make the material feel more like it came from a battered record than a pristine sample pack. Now we want to turn the break into playable fragments. Right-click the clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. Slice by transients if the break is dense, or by 1/8 notes if you want a more controlled chop grid. This creates a drum rack with individual slices you can sequence like a fill instrument. At this point, think like a phrase builder, not just a beat programmer. You want the fill to have an opening statement, an escalation, and a landing. That might mean a snare slice, then a pitched-up hat fragment, then a lower ghost hit, then a small break tail, and finally a strong ending hit that sets up the next section. A good jungle fill often works because it alternates space and motion. If everything is busy, the ear stops feeling the shape. Once the rhythm is working, bounce or resample the fill to audio. This is where the chopped vinyl feel really starts to come alive. You can automate pitch on selected fragments, or use clip envelopes to move individual hits up and down. Small musical shifts of +2 to +5 semitones are great for subtle movement. If you want a more obvious jungle flavor, use one dramatic jump on a single fragment, maybe +7 to +12 semitones, then let the last hit fall back down. The trick is not to pitch everything. Use pitch as the accent, not the entire identity. A really important teacher note here, keep the low end under control. In drum and bass, the kick and bass relationship after the fill matters more than making the fill sound huge on its own. So if you pitch a snare, a hat, or a break tail, great. But if the fill starts dragging low-frequency content all over the place, it can blur the impact of the next downbeat. Usually, you want the fill to live mostly in the mids and highs, with maybe one controlled low fragment if it really serves the phrase. Now load the resampled audio into Sampler if you want to get more sampler-like behavior. Classic mode will feel tighter and more instrument-like, while one-shot mode can help the chops fire cleanly. Then start shaping the instability. Use the sample start position to create tiny offsets, almost like the record was being nudged by hand. Add a little glide if needed, and automate transpose in small jumps. This is where the character starts to feel less like MIDI, and more like a chopped sample being manipulated on a deck. And here is a useful advanced idea. One anchor hit goes a long way. A recognizable snare or break accent somewhere in the fill gives the listener something to latch onto. Without that anchor, the pitch movement can sound random. With it, the whole thing feels intentional, like a real performance. Next, shape the envelope so the fill behaves like a transition, not a loop. The first hit should be focused and punchy. The middle fragments should stay short and rhythmic. Then the final hit can either stretch slightly, collapse sharply, or leave a tiny gap before the drop. That tiny pocket of silence can be huge. Even a very short mute before the downbeat can make the incoming kick and bass hit feel bigger. Now add character with stock Ableton processing, but keep it disciplined. A good chain might be EQ8, then saturator, then drum bus, and finally utility. Use saturator lightly, just enough to add density. Drum bus can bring out attack and add a bit of crunch, but don't flatten the life out of the chop. Use EQ to tame harshness if the pitch top slices get sharp around the upper mids or top end. And use utility to keep the stereo width intentional. A lot of classic jungle-style fills are actually more focused than people think. The main hit should stay centered and solid, while any stereo dust lives in the tails or the effects. If you want more vinyl flavor, try a subtle redux pass, but keep it tasteful. This should feel like degrade and print, not like a lo-fi novelty effect. If the fill still sounds too clean after processing, resample it again. Second-generation audio often feels more believable in a DNB context because it captures that print, cut, and reprint workflow that suits the genre. Now let's think about movement over the final bar. You can automate auto-filter for a short sweep, maybe just enough to mimic a DJ-style record motion. You can send a little reverb to one or two hits, not the whole fill. You can add a tiny delay slap to a snare fragment for a spatial smear. And you can pitch the final slice down quickly, so it feels like the record got yanked back right before the drop. A strong arrangement approach is to let the fill get more broken as it goes. So maybe beat 1 is relatively clean, beat 2 introduces a pitched-up fragment, beat 3 starts degrading and filtering, and beat 4 lands on a pitch-down hit or a short gap that creates a little story inside the bar. It's not just random chop energy. It's a mini-event with its own contour. Now place the fill in context. Always test it with a full arrangement, not in solo. That's where you'll hear whether it actually helps the tune. Ask yourself, does it leave the next kick and bass hit intact? Does it create tension without masking the snare of the next section? Does it feel like part of the drum language, or does it feel like a decorative effect pasted on top? If the fill is too busy, simplify the middle hits. If it feels too polite, increase the pitch spread on one fragment or add a second resample pass with a little more grit. If the low end starts fighting the drop, high pass it a bit more aggressively. In mastering terms, clarity at the phrase boundary is everything. The listener should feel the transition, not hear a low end argument. One more important check, listen at a lower volume. A strong fill should still read from the transient shape and the mid-range movement, not just from brightness and stereo width. If it disappears when the volume drops, the rhythm probably relies too much on sparkle and not enough on actual structure. For heavier or darker DNB, there are a few extra tricks worth trying. You can layer a very short Reese-like tail under the fill, but keep it high-passed and brief so it connects the fill to the next drop without muddying the sub. You can also add a tiny, narrow EQ emphasis on one hit to make it feel pulled from a specific record or machine. And if you want a more industrial or narrow edge, a very subtle corpus treatment on one slice can add metallic tension. Just keep it low in the mix so it supports the tone instead of taking over. Remember, the best fills do not just sound cool in isolation. They function, they reset the ear, build anticipation, and make the next section hit harder. That's why a great pitch jungle fill can separate a tune that is technically fine from one that feels arranged by someone with taste. For your practice, build 3 versions of the same one-bar fill. Make one subtle and roller-friendly with small pitch movement. Make one classic jungle version with a dramatic pitched-up snare and a pitched-down ending. Then make a darker, heavier version with more saturation, less width, and a dustier top end. Place each one at the end of an 8-bar phrase and compare which one best supports a drop, a switch-up, or a grimy transition. The goal is not to choose the flashiest one. The goal is to choose the one that serves the arrangement best. So the big takeaway is this: a pitch jungle fill is controlled chaos. Chop real drum language, bend it musically, degrade it with taste, keep the low end clear, and always make sure it lands like a weapon on the one. That's the move. Now go build it, resample it, and make that transition feel expensive.